Feel the rush of kind of. Well, he said, no. We talked to like 3:30. He talks a long time once he gets going.
Oh my God.
Hi, good morning. Hello. Good to see you too. I like that you guys have come in action today.
Especially.
Both of you.
Yeah,
hey,
funny.
Good morning.
Hello.
Not a very good driver, but he's awesome. He's awesome.
Got people being a little disrupted by. We have people who are being a little. Distracted, disturbed, yeah. Because they weren't able to get their 8 hours, 9 hours of sleep today. Well, you know, it kind of fails to what these guys are going through. Yes, 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 yes. All right, our announcements are posted of the, wow. Wow, I just started. Our regularly scheduled activities are located in the calendar hanging up in the hallway downstairs. And besides recognizing Joanne for the incredible job coordinating our rest stop.
I gotta tell you, I just counted what we got so far, $591.
Great. Yay.
So, doing nothing today off my day, so today will be another bonus day. So thank you, everybody. Good job.
Nice job.
Indeed. Yes.
Announcement. There's going to be a party celebration for my graduation. So I have printed the invitation with all the details, and it's downstairs on the door when you enter from this side.
Do you have any? Do you have any announcements in the garden room too?
No. It's just on the door.
Okay. I'm gonna make a copy and put one downstairs.
Okay.
And then sort of had all running out, but I'd do it.
Okay.
The sign up sheet.
Yes, a sign up sheet for some other small items we need down there as well.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Jerry?
Yeah. This Wednesday, there'll be an Abraham meeting at Rosemary Heart Groves, 6 o'clock, potluck, and 7 o'clock.
We have an announcement. We're in the market for a new vehicle, a cheap, reliable family car.
I realize I'm part of the 15 car seats and a 12-year-old. So, if anyone knows what is now.
Like bring the vehicle, bring the period.
Just something that will fit a family. 2 car seats and a 12-year-old in the back seat of our car is very, very, and cheap if it's rolling.
So, spread the word.
Yeah, thanks.
May I share an announcement?
Well, sure, why not? Yeah, no microphone, too.
Thank you. I have some handouts for later, and this information is on the handout. I will be teaching a prosperity class this summer based on the book In the Flow of Life by Eric Butterworth, and everyone is welcome. It will be in Olympia on 4 different Sunday afternoons in June and July. And it's all by donation because I love it when we all learn together, so that's the main thing.
Please join me in our unity statement that's located in the program, and we'll say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of our love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. Please stand for our song of joy. You know this one, Deep Inside My Heart. This is one that you just memorized.
Oh, yes, memorized. Sorry.
No problem.
And a call and response, too. I sing a part and then you can sing the part, the echo, with Karen. Deep inside my heart,
deep inside my heart,
I got this everlasting love,
I got this everlasting love.
It's shining like the sun,
it's shining like the sun.
It radiates on everyone,
it radiates on everyone.
And the more that I give, it's the way that I live,
it's the way that I live.
It's what I'm living for,
it's what I'm living for.
Deep inside my heart,
deep inside my heart.
Way down deep inside my heart,
deep inside my heart.
I got this everlasting love, got this everlasting love. Everlasting love,
everlasting love.
It's shining like the sun,
it's shining like the sun.
It radiates on everyone,
it radiates on everyone.
And the more that I give,
the more that I give.
The more I've got to give,
the more I've got to give.
It's the way that I live,
it's the way that I live.
It's what I'm
for,
deep inside my heart.
This morning's reading goes along with the daily reading that we had today about the silence and being still and resonating with what is inside of us. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear.
Can you hear me? Here we go. And this reading is called Your Heart is the Altar of Love, and Myrtle Fillmore wrote it. Be still. Be still. Be still. God in the midst of you is substance. God in the midst of you is love. God in the midst of you is wisdom. Let not your thoughts be given to lack, but let wisdom fill them with the substance and the faith of God. Let not your heart be a center of resentment and fear and doubt. Be still. I know that at this moment it is the altar of God, of love. Love so sure and unfailing. Love so irresistible and magnetic that it draws your supply to you from the great storehouse of the universe. Trust God. Use God's wisdom. Prove and express God's love. As you come out of the silence, count your blessings and give thanks for them. Realize that only good exists in you and in your world, that the power you contacted in the silence may have opportunity to multiply and increase your blessings.
Thank you, Hallie. Please remain seated for our meditation song, Long Time Sunshine.
Thank you.
Steve's vocal debut. Please join me in our affirmations. That's also located in the program. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am in peace, knowing that everything I need comes to me in perfect time. And as this is the fourth Sunday of the month, we will be using the progressive Lord's Prayer, and that's found in your hymnal. Please use it, and then put it back when you're done. The progressive Lord's Prayer. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name,
I am.
I am thy kingdom come. I am thy will be done. I am on earth, even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am all life forgiving me. I am leading all men and women from temptation. I am delivering all men and women from error. For I am the kingdom, I am the power, and I am the glory of God in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am.
Neither of them wanted to leave the warm bed. And finally, the wife said to the husband, "Well, you have to do it. It's in the Bible. The Bible says so." And the husband says, "What are you talking about? Show me where it says that I have to make the coffee." And the wife pulls out her Bible and turns it to the page that reads, the chapter of Hebrews. I'm passing around some handouts for today. Many of you may know from last time that my background is in teaching. I'm working towards becoming a licensed Unity teacher, so I'm currently a licensed Unity teacher candidate, and my hope is that I will complete that schooling program by November. Thank you. I'm very honored to be here today. And what I'm going to be speaking about today are three things that I am continuing to learn about. One of my experiences with being a licensed Unity teacher has been that I notice I have more questions now than when I started. I realize I'm a lifelong learner. I'm continually on the journey. And one of my mentors, Reverend Terry Murray from Olympia, says that we teach that which we need to learn. And so the topics that I'm sharing about today are topics that I continue to learn about. One of them is metaphysical Bible interpretation. One of them is tithing. And one of them is Memorial Day in honor of our day tomorrow. I also always like to really make it clear that I can tell you what Unity teaches in some things, because in some areas there's some variety on what Unity teaches. I can tell you what I believe. I would never presume to tell anyone else what they should believe. So this is not a should talk. One of the things that's most precious to me about being part of Unity is knowing that we each have our connection with the divine, that we can each tune in through prayer and meditation and discernment to know that which is true for us. So that's my disclaimer. All right. And I have this affirmation. I hope it's showing. Oh, it might not be showing right this second. I am open and receptive to seeing in a new way, and I invite you to affirm that with me. I am open and receptive to seeing in a new way. Like I said, I continue to look for new ways to understand all of these topics. The first one we'll talk about is metaphysical Bible interpretation. So I'm curious, what do you already know about metaphysical Bible interpretation, if anything? I beg your pardon?
I say just a little here and there.
Just a little here and there, okay. Thought I heard something over here. Oh, there's a book downstairs. Yay, the metaphysical Bible dictionary, maybe. Okay. Sometimes it makes me want to cry too, yes. Anything else? Sherry, you look like you might be on the brink of saying something.
I don't know if the thoughts have complete the same thing, but
yes, thank you, Sherry. Very nice. So a higher level of understanding rather than taking something literally. And yes, our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, made it really clear that we didn't necessarily interpret the Bible literally. The events described in the Bible may have occurred, may not have occurred, but that wasn't the most important piece of that Bible for us. That we use metaphysical Bible interpretation, which is based on Unity's first three principles, that God is everywhere, all power, absolutely good, that God is in each human being, and that our experience is determined by how we think, what we think about, what we focus upon, that we co-create our reality with the Most High. Metaphysical Bible interpretation also does not use the Bible to justify bad acts. So saying that we are opposed to another group of people because of what's in the Bible, that's not part of metaphysical Bible interpretation. With metaphysical Bible interpretation, I think this quote from our co-founder Charles Fillmore is very important as well. And he says, I love this, because he was writing in the time before the Dead Sea Scrolls had been discovered, before a lot of modern biblical scholarship had already occurred. And he said, regardless of claims of infallibility for sacred writings on the part of their champions, we should remember that they were all produced by human hands, and that they are all tinctured by the human minds through which they came. So not that the Bible is unimportant or not valuable, and that we can all still use our gifts of discernment, wisdom, right judgment, to decide what's in there, how it relates to my story as a human being, what the characters in the Bible stand for in my life, how they relate to me. I like to think about the Bible as kind of like the Mona Lisa. Now, there have been a lot of speculations and ideas about why Leonardo da Vinci painted the Mona Lisa the way he did. What's with her weird smile? Who's it a picture of? There's some funky stuff in the background where the perspective on one side is different than the other. And no matter how much we speculate, we may never know what Leonardo da Vinci meant when he painted the Mona Lisa. And each of us can stand in front of a work of great art and have our own experience. Someone might stand in front of the Mona Lisa and receive great enlightenment, great inspiration, great divine ideas. And that experience, in my opinion, is just as valid as whatever Leonardo was thinking about when he painted that picture. And so I see metaphysical Bible interpretation in much the same way, that while it's interesting and it may shed light on our study to know what the writers were intending, that our own experience is just as important, that we can always rely on knowing, I have my own connection with the divine, you have your own connection with the divine, and that I suppose the good news and the bad news is that someone else isn't and really can't do it for us. Now, I love that the conversation of the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary came up. Thank you, Gina. When I took one of my very earliest classes at Unity of Olympia, I was very excited to learn the metaphysical definition of everything. And the minister at the time, Reverend Anna Joy Grace, said, "No, Audrey, this is a metaphysical Bible interpretation. You have to figure your own out." And I probably said, That seems so hard. But what a blessing to be able to use our own thinking, our own ideas, our own discernment. So now we're going to talk about tithing. And I'm curious to know what you know about tithing.
Little bit,
says Tom. All right. What else?
Bad connotations.
It has some bad connotations, yes, sometimes. Sometimes for me too.
Yeah, I think there's different ways of tithing.
Yes.
It can be in your work, your giving, more than just monetary, but monetary is an important part as well.
Okay, so it can involve finances and also other areas of talent and gifts and giving. Thank you.
We learn that as we give, we receive. If we give love, we get love back.
Sure.
This attitude that's so prevalent in the world about getting even with people, well, you're doing damage to yourself.
Yeah, that there's a give and receive component, that what we put out is often what we receive back. Thank you. Anything else?
The idea of giving and receiving is really important in that.
So important to me too. All right, so in one of the very earliest Unity classes that I took, it was a prosperity class. I didn't really want to take that class. I wanted to take a new member class, but that wasn't available. So I thought, well, I'll just take this class just to learn more about this church that I'm intending to join. And it was on prosperity. And in that class, we were asked to tithe 10% to the church that was offering the class. And I knew Unity didn't take the Bible literally. So I thought, oh, isn't that convenient, that the only place they take the Bible literally is where it says the 10% of money. When I studied tithing further, I learned some things that really surprised me. First, that tithing does not always mean 10%, that there are some thinkers who believe, yes, it always means 10%. There are other thinkers who say it means giving a certain amount or a certain percentage that we discern or that we designate. In the part of the Bible that's often called the Old Testament, which Unity sometimes calls the Hebrew Bible, tithing was part of the Hebrews' system of supporting their government and their religion, which were the same thing back in that time. And they were required by law to pay certain amounts on different cycles. So there was an income cycle, but there was also like a seven-year cycle when they were responsible for paying. And some scholars believe that the actual amount they paid was closer to 23%. Again, supporting their government and religion. there's some schools of thought that say tithing means you take the first 10% you receive and give that to the divine. There are other tithing sources that think you count out 10 things and the 10th one goes to God, regardless of what shape it's in. So if you have 10 apples, the first 9 you set aside, the 10th one goes to God, even if it's bruised. There is also a perspective that tithing doesn't apply to Christians because the New Testament, which Unity often calls the Christian Bible, doesn't mention tithing at all and just talks about giving from a perspective of love. So there's some thinking that tithing is this old system and that Christians don't need to adhere to it. That's just within the larger Christianity. And within Unity, some of the tithing perspectives I've heard are like the class that I took, that it's a flat 10%, that you give it to your source of spiritual inspiration. There's also this perspective that I think was mentioned a little bit earlier, that tithing is like priming the pump for prosperity, that you give first so that you will receive. I'm here to tell you, I don't know if any of that's true. Like I said, I will share with you the Unity perspective. There are a variety of them, as I just mentioned. I wanted to share with you what my experience has been with tithing, what's true for me. During this class that I mentioned a little bit earlier, where I was very cynical because Unity was taking the Bible literally, I decided to, for the length of the class, to tithe 10% to the church. And I was a little white-knuckled about it. I didn't know how it would work out. And one of the things that the minister who taught that class, Reverend Deborah Olive, said is that frequently when people start tithing, they notice what she called money leaks. And that's places where money might be leaving us a little unintentionally and going somewhere that may be really not inside our conscious awareness. And she suggested paying attention to where money might be leaking away from us. And so as I started in this class, I became aware of a very large money leak. And at the time, I was in a job that I was not very happy in. And my job happened to be within walking distance of a Starbucks store. And twice a day, on the days I was working, and I worked 5 days a week, I was walking to the Starbucks store and buying stuff. And I was spending over $10 a day on the days I was working at Starbucks, over $50 a week. And I realized, oh, I'm actually already tithing. I'm tithing to Starbucks, and I just didn't know it. And this is important. I'll come back to this. So not that Starbucks is a bad organization, but it did raise a question for me about, is this where I want my money going? Is this where I want my energy going? Is this where I want the fruits of my labor going? At the end of class, I was very relieved, and I stopped tithing, and I just thought, oh, I'm so glad that's over. But I continued to think about this idea of tithing, and I continued to talk with friends about this idea. And one of my friends who had taken the class with me said something which resonated with me. So all the other information that I shared with you earlier about tithing wasn't really reaching me. I wasn't 100% comfortable with, and my friend who had taken the class with me said, you know what? I tithe to Unity because Unity means so much to me, and I want Unity to continue. And that resonated with me because I thought, yes, that is co-creating. That is me saying I'm consciously putting my energy, my time, my effort, my money to something that I find valuable, that I want to continue. And I decided I wanted to tithe. I didn't feel like I was in a place financially to do it yet. And then I got a new job, which was exactly 10% pay more than my previous job. And I thought, haha, God, you're pretty funny. And that's my story of tithing. The idea that we co-create, looking at that third unity principle of how are we expressing in the world? How are we seeing our thoughts line up with what we know is true about ourselves and with God so that we can bring forth our highest and best expression? And now, after we affirm our statement together again, I am open and receptive to seeing it in a new way. Memorial Day. I don't know if folks can read the caption on this slide. the guy is saying, I'm not going to complain about the high cost of anything this weekend. A lot of times I hear Memorial Day described as a great time for a barbecue and the unofficial start of summer. And I think there's some great sales going on at the mall. And that's all great. And we know that Memorial Day is a time to honor memories, a time to think about those folks who've made the ultimate sacrifice, who served in our armed forces, and who died in service to this country and to all of us so that we could have the freedoms we have, the freedom to think, the freedom to express, the freedom to worship, the freedom to believe. I'd like us to just take a moment of silence right now to acknowledge with gratitude all those who have given their lives in service of this country. If you feel so inspired to speak their names aloud, you're more than welcome to do that. If you want to hold them in silence, I invite you to hold them with an attitude of gratitude for just about a minute. Let us close our moment of silence with just words of appreciation and gratitude. So I invite you to join me and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We know that we are blessed beyond measure. We know that our lives are rich and abundant. And tithing has been on my brain because of the prosperity class I'm going to be teaching this summer. So I've been noodling through that. But I also saw a connection between tithing and Memorial Day as I started preparing for this talk. So a few things that I learned about Memorial Day that I thought were fascinating. One is that the precursors of Memorial Day started in the 1800s when women in the South had gone to the cemetery to clean up graves of Confederate soldiers and to lay flowers. And they noticed that there were also graves of Union soldiers that were overgrown. And they decided to clean those graves and lay flowers there as well. And this act was so inspiring that many people from other states started designating what was called Decoration Day, a day to clean up the graves of fallen soldiers who had served this country. In 1950, Congress requested that the president issue a proclamation calling on Americans to observe a Memorial Day as a day of prayer for permanent peace. Certainly something that we in Unity are 100% in support of. In the year 2000, President Clinton signed a National Moment of Remembrance Act, encouraging people of the United States to give something back to this country, which provides us so much freedom and so much opportunity. When I was reflecting on Memorial Day, thinking about that phrase, all gave some and some gave all, thinking about the sacrifice, the contribution that folks have made so that we can be here, I started thinking about what are the many ways that others have contributed so that we can be here today? What are the many ways? Someone grew the food that I ate for my breakfast. Someone built the road so that that food could be transported to the supermarket. someone opened a supermarket so that food could be sold to me and my family. Someone was a teacher who taught all those people their skills and their abilities. Someone was a parent who raised those people and who raised us. And so I was thinking about this idea of contribution and the idea of service, and thinking about those folks whose memory we honor this weekend. And we can honor them with a moment of silence at 3 p.m. tomorrow. And I believe we can honor them as well by asking ourselves, how do I serve? How do I want to contribute? What do I want to give? Now, some of you may have served in the armed forces, and I'll say thank you for your service to our country. Some of us may be people whom the armed forces may not have ever accepted for various reasons, flat feet, astigmatism, currently being closer to age 80 than death, I mean than birth, pardon me. And we know that there are so many ways to serve. I think of this wonderful quote from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, where he says, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You don't have to know about Plato and Aristotle or Einstein's theory of relativity or the second theory of thermodynamics and physics to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. So my invitation to us all, in addition to the moment of silence tomorrow at 3 p.m. to honor memories of those who have served, is to think about our own service. Where am I serving? Where do I want to serve? Do I want to do something more? Do I want to do something less? Do I want to do something different? I think part of the beauty of being part of the Unity community is knowing that we can all tune into source. We can all discern where's the right and perfect opportunity for me to serve. I see so much service already occurring in this community. I hear about serving at the rest stop. I hear beautiful music. I see the love in this community. I know we're all already serving and we all have so much to give. We're so blessed. Thank you all. So we'll take some time now and go into meditation. And I invite us to find our place of comfort, sitting in the chair, feeling our backs supported, feeling our feet on the floor. Let's breathe in and breathe out. One more time, in and out, seeing our oneness, seeing our connection to those who've gone before, seeing our connection to the growers, the transporters, the sellers, the ancestors, those who served, the teachers. Seeing our connection extend out beyond our lifetime into the future, knowing that we are part of that great circle of human existence, that we are siblings in that great circle, that we are beneficiaries receiving blessings. We are co-creators, creating good for ourselves and others. And I invite you, as we step into the silence, to take with you that idea of appreciation and the wisdom of knowing that we are each co-creating good. We have so much for which to be grateful. We have our freedom. We have our discernment. We have our ability to come together as a community, to go forward into the world, to be expressions of the Most High. We're so grateful for all of our blessings, and we know that we are part of creating blessings for ourselves and others as we step forward into the future. And for all this, we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is.
For our offerings, there are two containers. The silver one is for supporting our center, and the copper one is for our outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let's say it together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all I receive. Beloved Mother, Father, God, We ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters, and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. And let's all say our prayer of protection together. You'll find that on the back of your program or on the wall to the right. Together, the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. Closing, let's form a circle, join hands, and sing our song of peace. I'd like to say thank you to all of you who made our Sunday service possible. Audrey with her wonderful words to us. Allie with her readings. Mike, Karen, and Isaac for the musical accompaniment. Susan for the coordination. And everyone else for all that wonderful things.
And Tom for him.
Hi, baby.
Stop touching people's
babies. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Each moment in peace eternal.